Good morning, Lifeway. Good morning, Lifeway Live Online. We're going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask y'all all to stand, and let's remember back. And for some of you have children that were not even born when this happened. For some of you, you might have been in elementary school when this happened. For my generation, this is the where were you when the president was assassinated? I remember older generations talking about that, about President Kennedy. Where were you? Well, for our generation, it's where were you on that day? What were we doing? And I remember we all stopped as we watched it unfold live. Let's bow for just a moment of silence. And I want to lead us in a prayer for our nation and ourselves. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to live in a country where no matter how we're attacked from within or without, the resolve that you placed within us when you birthed this nation, the idea of freedom is foreign to many people across the globe. Some absolutely hate it. And others pray for it. And Father, right here in our country, nothing could be truer from our very own citizens right now. But I pray, Father, that those who call upon your name will be strengthened. Those of us that love you first and love this country second. We love this country not out of some blind patriotism, but we love it on a deeper spiritual level. Because had you not placed your hand upon this nation, and if it wasn't for your keeping hand right now, we would not have the spiritual freedom, the ability to gather and assemble, and to speak your word freely, and to call sin, sin, and to celebrate one God, our Father. Father, may we never forget the price of freedom from the very beginning of our nation to as the day unfolds today. Also, Father, as your children, may we never forget that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There's not a nationality out there. There's not a religion that we should hate, a people group we should despise. But it is sin and the result of sin that we should despise. May we see those without your love, without the knowledge of your son personally in their lives, may we see them as needing people like us to befriend them, to show them your love, and to be an example of you in our country right now, loudly and clearly, peacefully. And may we spend time in prayer that our country will come back to what you have called it to be. Father, bless us. Bless our families. Bless our church. Bless our community. Bless this great nation. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you all. Y'all can be seated. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, I share a passage with you. And he says this. Y'all listen. He says, for all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. Let me say it again. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the desire of possessions, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Now, I knew 3 weeks ago I was going to read that verse of Scripture, okay? And so let me go first. We all like nice things. We all like pretty things. We all like new stuff. If you're a guy, well, I was going to say that's how God wired us, but that's a cop-out. You decide if you fit in my category or not, okay? So let me tell you what happened. Now, you women are not going to get this, so I'll give you an illustration later, but some of the guys are going to get this. I've got a lawnmower that I love, okay? I studied hard, did all my research, and I think I got a really great lawnmower. You know, I got a problem with my lower back, so I found the only lawnmower made in America. This got independent front suspension and shocks all the way around. And I don't make a nickel for promoting them. I'm just telling you that it is a smooth operator. Okay, I did all my homework. Very proud of it. And last week, I was driving down the highway. And I said, hey, that's the same brand I have. Hey, that's my friend. So I waited till he's done mowing and I had plenty of road time. I called him and I said, hey, I thought you sold your fill in the blank with the brand name. I'm not promoting them. He said, oh yeah, I got a new one. I'm like, what? Is it newer than the one you recommended to me? Oh yeah. And then he named the features that it had that I don't have. And I'm like, see, I asked about those features, but they looked at me like I was crazy. They didn't have those features when I bought mine 2 years ago. And so for about the next hour, I'm thinking, that lawnmower looked good going up down that highway cutting that grass. Yeah, smooth. I said, he looked good on that lawnmower. So when I got home, in the back of my mind, out of all the million things I needed to do, I needed to see how much it cost. Because mine being so new, now just listen to my reasoning. Mine being so new, I know I could sell it. I could probably get just about what I paid for it, but how much would my payment go up? I know none of you think that way, so just be patient. So I get on the website, and I didn't immediately look for the price. I just wanted to see a clear picture and examined the new features. And I did. I was struck. And then I imagined what it would look like sitting in my shop. A warm feeling ran over me. It's like, I need this lawnmower. How have I gotten by without it? How did they make a new model and not tell me about it? Scroll down to the price. There must be something wrong. It's double what I paid for mine. Well, then maybe I don't need to mow, you know, 9-foot deck. Maybe it doesn't need to be a diesel. Maybe it doesn't need to be rated to mow 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for 10 years. Maybe I won't mow that much. But I kept thinking, but how could I justify that bill? And then a picture of my wife's face came to me. And the warm feeling turned into a cold chill. I shook it off and shut the website off. Why would I even? There's nothing wrong with my lawnmower. If I washed it, I could put it in a parade. But you know, I think there's something in all of us. Now, for you, it's not a lawnmower, okay? For you, it might be a truck. You know, or it might be a four-wheeler, or it might be whatever. And ladies, for you, it might be, you know, you need that new purse. You're kidding me. I'm carrying last year's Louis Vuitton. How embarrassing. Somebody's looking around going, what's a Louis Vuitton? But within us is a desire to have stuff, to get stuff, and to have better stuff. And there's no way, beginning this series, that we can talk about the simple life unless we begin uncomplicating our present life. Sometimes, to get the newest stuff, or the nicest stuff, or the bigger stuff, we end up going into debt. And so to acquire all these things that we just talked about, everything you see, the pride of the eyes, having all these possessions, that scripture told us this. God said, that's not from me. He said, that's from the world. Does everybody know who the Joneses are? You know the Joneses. That's who you're trying to keep up with. You might be the Jones. Going to look at a passage of scripture, and here's what I want you to get from today is that we need to get rid of anything that's unnecessary in our lives if we're to truly serve God. So if we eliminate the unnecessary, then we can spend more time focusing on God. A woman last week stated, I listened to national radio, I spent a lot of time in the car. And she called in, and I was like, wow, this is one of those prayers that I can't say driving. I should pull over and stop and bow my head and pray. And the radio host said, well, how often have you prayed about it? What are you doing? She goes, I'm so busy, I don't have time to pray. That's why I'm calling you. But every one of us in this room, this week, at one time, we've been too busy to pray. We've been too busy to pray. There's been a time this week you've been too busy to pray. And while I was busy castigating the woman on the phone that took time to wait in line for an online religious person to talk to her, she could have memorized the book of Job. But she's too busy to pray. And I thought, how many of us are too busy to pray? Our lives are too complicated, basically. And so I want to talk about eliminating the unnecessary. Now, the Apostle Paul starts off in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're going to start looking at this. We need to cast off whatever slows you down. Cast off whatever slows you down. Here's what the writer says. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which cling so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, let's stay right there. Let's take the verse apart, and then let's apply it to our present situation, okay? He says, therefore, anytime you've been in one of my Bible study groups or small groups, we know that when a verse starts with therefore, it is what? It's a conclusion, or it's summarizing everything that's just been said. So now we go back up and we read. And here we have the writer of Hebrews talking about all the Old Testament saints and what they accomplished and their faith in God. Okay? And so it says, since we have surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and everyone that he named went through trials and tribulations and had some really rough spots in their lives. Yet, in the end, it was their faith that sustained them. People talk about heroes. Heroes are nothing more than ordinary people in an extraordinary situation. And so the heroes of our faith, they were people just as you and I, with doubts and fears and all the weird stuff. But when we see their life in totality, we see that it was their faith in God that carried them across the finish line. It was not their possessions. It wasn't their busy life. It was their faith in God. So it says, so let us lay aside every weight. Y'all stare at that passage. There's two parts I want you to, we have to read them, you have to understand them, and you have to separate them. So let us lay aside every weight and sin, which does cling so closely. Two separate things, folks. Lay aside the good stuff that's slowing you down and the bad stuff, sin, that is slowing you down. There's two things slowing you down this morning. Spiritually, physically, emotionally. You've got stuff that's not a sin. It might be good, but it's slowing you down. When I say slow you down, it is keeping you from being the believer God wants you to be. It's keeping you from being the Christian God has called you to be. It's keeping you from living the life God wants for you. When Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy." If you understood what he was talking about and who he was talking to, everyone in his audience that day knew what a yoke was. Normally it's wood in its simplest form, and it was a contraption they'd put around an ox's shoulders and neck so that it could pull a plow. The fanciest ones I've ever seen are made out of wood, covered in leather with all kinds of tooling on it and things of that nature. Y'all know what I'm talking about, a yoke? And so Jesus says, "Take my yoke, for it is light, and give me your heavy one." Jesus, although very busy and a very complicated spiritual life, he did lead the simple life, didn't he? His biggest struggle wasn't if there was going to be a 9/11 sale. It was, "I need to find more time to pray." So we've got the things that are good, that aren't sin, that are slowing us down from allowing us to focus and live and serve God the way God wants us to live. Okay? But the next phrase is what? "And the sin which does cling so closely." Now these things can be two separate things, or these can be two of the same thing. Understand this. There is a phrase, and people in business know this, and churches need to start taking this on too. Sometimes you've got to kill the good to have better. Sometimes you have to do away with the better to have the great. Do we want to be better, or do we want to be great? So sometimes you have to stop doing something that's good so that you can do something that is great. So what I'll leave you with in a few moments is this fact right here. I'm hoping your wheels are already turning, that you and your spouse go home and you start making a list. Now, this won't happen overnight. I have read so many articles on how to simplify your life. It was complicating my life by reading how to simplify my life. No, I mean, I'm serious. I had allotted 15 minutes for this internet search. 2 hours later, I'm like, I don't even know how to give advice on how to simplify. They complicated it. So I've concluded this. Simplifying your life doesn't mean it's going to be easy. One thing for me is getting rid of email subscriptions. Have you ever clicked on something or downloaded an article, and next thing you know, every day you're getting something from them? Okay, well, in my unorganized life, what I do is I wake up every day and I spend the first 10 minutes in my email just unsubscribing from things, just unsubscribing 10 minutes a day. And to be an example to you this morning, today there are only 281 things left in my email inbox right now. Clue number one, if you want to get a hold of me, don't send an email. Glenn, please pray. My house is on fire. Listen, your insurance adjuster will be there by the time I read that email. Okay? But when I read some of these tips to simplifying your life, to me, they complicated my life. And I don't have time to get into it, but some of them are crazy. So maybe I didn't narrow my search down deep enough. So get rid of every weight that slows you down. A runner will not run a race with a backpack full of bricks, unless that is a criteria for the race. They wear the lightest shoes. And only recently have I seen these very notable runners that'll have a big gold chain around their neck. And I'm thinking, boy, my track coach would have choked you with that thing. The track coach even said, you can practice in socks, but you can't wear socks when you race. You need every bit of that off. Well, trust me, I needed more than that off. I needed wings or something. They didn't have Red Bull back then. But a runner who sets himself out to run and to finish and to win will not carry excess weight. Race car drivers, part of racing is getting every ounce of weight out of that car so that it will go faster. Guys that race boats, they're even crazier about lightening it up. And in airplanes, it can actually kill you to have too much weight on board. So weight issue is a big thing. So it says, cast off, get rid of unnecessary things. What in your life could you go home today and start making a list of that you could cast off? That's not going to change your lifestyle, but it may start to give you a little bit of freedom. And then it says, and the sin which clings so closely, that's those little things. Those little things, those little annoying and nagging sins that you know are there, but you put up with them and you tolerate them. And what you don't realize is it is actually slowing you down. It is hurting you more than you know. And the next phrase is this, and let us run the race with what? Endurance, that race that is set before us. So when we look at what God has left us here to accomplish on this earth as believers, are we in a 100-yard dash or is it a marathon? It's a marathon. That means that we need to prepare for the long haul. Runners that prepare for a marathon prepare incrementally. And some people do a 30-day, a 60, a 90-day, 120-day workup for a marathon. And so they have a routine. And every week, the training gets harder, longer, and or tougher, so that a week before the race, they're not busy running the week before the race. They're resting because they've already done all the preparing. You know, the hardest time to prepare for a race is 5 minutes after it starts. It's like, whew, maybe chili wasn't the best dinner to have last night. Folks, if you're a child of God, which means you've repented of your sins, you've asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you're in the race. We're already in it. And the writer tells us that since there's so many that we can look to and see that they have accomplished so much because of their faith and trust in God, that should help motivate us to cast off all that extra weight, the things that get in the way, and those little sins, the things that are slowing us down, so that we can what? Run the race with endurance and the race that is set before us. Look at the last phrase, and the race that is set before us. You didn't pick the course. God did. You may think you picked the course. And if you need to think that, well, you go right ahead. But understand, your Heavenly Father that didn't sleep last night knows every need you have. He knows every qualification you have. And He knows every characteristic you lack to cross the finish line of life. And He's here to prepare you and sustain you. But if we get so busy getting our lives complicated, He can't accomplish that. I want you to look at the next thing. We're going to look at a proverb. Now, anytime you read a proverb, proverbs are words of nuggets. They're little nuggets of knowledge or wisdom that you can take away. So once we've decided that we'll stop trying to fill the voids with stuff, we have to understand this is a big part of it for us in America here today. Keeping up with the Joneses will keep you broke. Who are the Joneses? There was a comic strip started in the early 1900s about a family that their goal was to make sure that they had everything their neighbors, the Joneses, had. They drew their security, their worth, their value from making sure that they had everything their next door neighbors had. Keeping up with the Joneses. Does that make sense to you? Will Rogers, known as a modern day philosopher, he said this. He said, too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things that they don't want to impress people they don't like. Let's do it again. Too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't like. Now, I like my friend and I like his lawnmower. And if he gave it to me, I promise you, I'd take it. But do I need it? No. Is it necessary to what? No. Matter of fact, I probably should get a push mower is what I ought to get. I'm sure my doctor would suggest that too. But keeping up with the Joneses is a term in that, here's the thing, you're either the Jones or you're trying to keep up with them. But most of you, either way, you're broke or you're near broke. It's costing you everything you've got to be one of the Joneses. Rare is the frugal person in America today. I'm not saying they don't exist. Now, there's a difference between being a tightwad and being frugal, okay? I'm sure most of us could testify this morning, there is something you're very frugal with or about, like you just refuse to waste or spend money on. But then there's other areas where it's like only the best will do. Am I right? No? Okay, maybe someone on the internet watching struggles with this. No one in person does. To put it bluntly, we measure our financial success against our peers, and we allow their spending habits to influence our level of happiness. I've got friends that work out at the plant, and they say there's a phenomenon. One guy will drive up pulling a brand new trailer with a brand new four-wheeler on it. This was years ago. And before long, everybody was getting a new four-wheeler. And then he said it was amazing. It would be four-wheelers, then it'd be RVs, then it'd be trucks. And it's just like, you know, they made good money. And so, man, everybody just kept collecting stuff. And he said the minute there was a slowdown at the plant, there was an overwhelmingly overstocked of brand new used toys on the market in Victoria. You could buy a four-wheeler for what Bubba owed the bank on it. He needed out. An article from Mint.com states that 60% of NBA players and 78% of NFL players file for bankruptcy within 5 years of retiring. Do you watch? Do you hear what they pay them? You could feed many small nations on what these guys make, right? But I can't complain, because as long as people will spend $700 to sit in the nosebleed section to come and watch them, they'll keep getting paid it. But the point is, the reason so many of them find themselves filing for bankruptcy is while they're making all that big money, they have very lavish lifestyles. A car for each day of the week. You know, five or six homes, things of that nature. Because they're keeping up with all the other NFL players or the other basketball players, you know. But then they get injured and they can't play, or they retire, and you retire very early from both of these professions. They keep up that same lifestyle, and within 5 years, they're broke. They've got no money. Now, there's a couple of guys in the NFL, to be exact, that literally went to college while they were in the NFL, got a degree. One became a lawyer, Another became a financial advisor. And when they retired, they had saved their money, lived frugally, and now they're doing something else with their lives, and they are financially independent. Well, listen, I don't see any NFL players or NBA players sitting here today. But on a lesser degree, we all fall in the same batch, don't we? Scary statistics. 7 out of 10 Americans today have less than $1,000 in the bank. 7 out of 10 Americans today are 2 paychecks away from being on food stamps and government assistance. Does that sound scary? Does it sound like you? Does it sound like someone you know? Part of the reason is we spend so much money on everything we have. For example, maybe we insist on building the house we build and building it where we built it so that we would look like everyone else in that neighborhood. Or we insist on having the vehicle that the advertisers tell us we need to have so that we will be cool and sophisticated. And by the time we've kept up with all the billboards and advertisements in our neighbors, we're in debt up to our necks. That's why Dave Ramsey has become so popular among Christians, that he caters to Christians trying to help them get out of debt. I've talked to church members that have said, you know, there's times when somebody at our church is struggling, you know, and so some people get together and do something to help them financially, and it breaks my heart that I can't do it because I'm so in debt myself. And one of the motivations for some Christians to get out of debt is so that they free up some of their income so they can do more of God's work with it. Then it feels good to reach into your pocket because you know you can. So I was looking at ways that we could make sure that Proverbs 11:28 doesn't happen to us. It says this: whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Now, caveat, let me just tell you, God's not mad at rich people. God's not mad at people with money. God's not mad at people with stuff, okay? I think we're more upset when people have stuff than God is. We're either jealous or we want to ridicule them. And most of the people that will debate you about your stuff are people that don't have your stuff, but they really wish they did. It doesn't mean being wealthy, doesn't mean being well off, doesn't mean having things is bad or evil, doesn't say it. But man, the Old Testament is littered with passages of scripture and wisdom that says the wealthy man stays up all night long to protect his wealth. He's got to guard it. I mean, think about people that live off their investments. They wake up every morning to see if their stocks went up or down. Poor people don't. Poor people don't have a computer to log on to check on their wealth. The most content people in America are the poorest people in America. Did you know that? They have time to pray. You know why? Because they pray. They pray for the tires on that old car to last. They pray for that old car to keep running. Oh, Lord, please help my tires. Help that transmission that's slipping. They're not focused on getting the next thing because there are some people. Maybe I used to be one of them. I don't know. I'm in a group. But the minute you get what you thought you wanted, they make a new one and you're like, oh, now I want that. You didn't know you wanted it till somebody else had it. Because don't we all want new and improved? If you reach for a box of cornflakes and you reach for the one that your grandfather had when he was a boy, but then one next to it says new and improved, you'd be like, oh, I got to have the better frosted flakes. I need the better ones. It probably has better things in it. So we will normally reach for the new and improved. Some things we need to do is we need to start telling ourselves no. We need to sit down, and most married couples don't do this. Both of you sit down together and look at your bills. What did you spend your money on last month, the month before, and the month before? Because getting financially free gives us more time to pray, gives us more time to serve. Some people are so busy working a second and third job that they never get to retire. When are you going to retire? Oh, I can't retire. I'm going to work up till lunch of the day of my funeral. I'm in so much debt. So we work hard to get stuff so that we can impress people that don't even like us and we don't like them. One of the other pieces of advice that I share with you is this. We got to stop comparing ourselves to other people. Stop comparing what we have to what other people have. Doesn't that verse say we just see it with our eyes and we're like, I need that? Here's one that probably won't sit well with some of you parents. Learn to say no to your kids. Whew, my goodness. Learn to say no to your kids. A little boy came up to me at church last year. He said, Pastor Glenn, you tell my mom why I need an iPhone. And I'm like, nope, you got the wrong guy there, buddy. What you need is a history book or a math book, not a phone. But parents just can't say no. When your child, 8, 9, or 10, comes to you and says, Mom, I need a cell phone. And you say, you don't need a phone. What's one of the first things they're going to tell y'all? Y'all hurry. What are they going to say? Everybody else has one. Yeah, that's why you don't need one. So you get dropped off in the desert somewhere, borrow a phone from a friend. You get kidnapped, borrow the kidnapper's phone. I had a mom say, well, my elementary child needs a phone in case there's an emergency at school. I'll know where they're at. I said, your elementary child should be at elementary. You can probably narrow it down to a block or a classroom. I said, you're trying to find a reason to buy a $1,000 computer for a 9-year-old child, and you're trying to convince yourself, and you need me to help you. Nope. We got to learn to start telling our kids no. Go back to what your mom and daddy said. What'd your mom and daddy tell you every time you asked for something? Nope. Go get a job. You earn the money, you can have one. The biggest financial debt in America is mortgages. Sometimes we're living in homes we can't afford to live in. The second one is automobile loans. We're driving things that we don't necessarily need. Now, I'm not saying you've got to sit on a milk crate and the lady next to you hold a goat while you're driving down the road, you know, in the hillbilly sedan. But do I really need a seat that senses whether my bottom is cold or hot? No, I'm serious. Do I need to be able to talk to the car to tell it to turn on the air conditioner? Have we gotten that lazy now? Hey, Cletus, turn on the air. My bottom's a little warm. What's the temperature down there? Do we really need all that? Here's another one for you preparing your kids for college. Maybe you pick the college instead of your kids. You know the average price is $25,000 to $40,000 a year for college now? So that they can grow their hair long and stand up and say death to America and capitalism is wrong while mom and dad are home working a job to pay their tuition so they can say we want to be free from this society? Who's the sucker there? Maybe you pick a college that you and your child can afford. One of the worst financial mistakes you can make in your life is to saddle a 21-year-old with $40,000 to $100,000 worth of debt on the day they graduate from college. Now they won't be buying a house anytime soon. They won't be probably starting a family anytime soon. They won't be buying a reliable car anytime soon because they have that student debt looming over them. they're probably going to come back home and live with you because they went out and got a degree in underwater basket weaving, you know, or the social history of et cetera, et cetera. Walmart doesn't even care about that degree, folks. You get that degree will prepare you to say this: would you like fries with that? Do you know the number one jobs that you can get in any town or any city? Just real quick, y'all go with me here. What's a field you can go into? You get a job in any town or any city within 2 or 3 days. What is it? Real quickly. Restaurants, yeah, but I'm talking about if you go to school to get some training, what would be one of the number one things? We got a room full of them right here. Nurses, teachers. Yeah, electrician and plumbers. Did you know you can get a brain surgeon in DeWitt County faster than you can get an electrician or plumber? I just got through bragging about the electrician that's helping us at Lifeway. I bragged about him online. I hope his new business picks up. We have to start living a simpler life. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, if we're going to get rid of anything that keeps us from living the life Jesus wants for us, we have to start getting rid of some things and reprioritizing our lives. Matthew 22:37, what does it say? You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's hard to do when you're buying, getting, and keeping all that stuff to make you happy. You cannot live this verse and the present lifestyle many of us live today. We've got to simplify this side of eternity so that we have more peace. Some of us can't afford to sit on the front porch swing and look at forever because we're so busy trying to pay for the view. I'm not negative stuff. If y'all took up an offering this morning to get me that lawnmower, I'd greatly appreciate it. I'd do the responsible thing and I'd tithe off of it too. But I don't need a piece of farm equipment to mow my yard. I own too much lawnmower right now. Most of us have more things than we need. You know, they say we spend $10.9 million just washing or cleaning the things that we own. That's just to wash your car, your boat, your RV, and all. That's just to wash them. That's just to keep it clean. Did you know the most successful people wear the same clothes all the time? Did you know that? I didn't know that till I read it, and there's a string of names, Albert Einstein being one of them. He had multiples of the same shirt, vest, jacket, and pants. Scientists have proven that you can only make so many decisions in a day without losing your ability to concentrate. You know what Albert Einstein didn't do? Wake up in the morning and see what was in style and go buy it and wear it. He wore the same clothes over and over again. Recent presidents live this way too. Did you know that? They didn't waste time on making sure they had the latest wardrobe. I mean, folks, in America, the poorest people in America live at a higher standard of living than over 3/4 of the world's population. What we would call poverty, they would call luxury. Can you believe that? If we're going to love God with all of our heart, soul, and our mind, if we're going to have a simple life, then we've got to uncomplicate it. We've got to lay away all the extra weight, all the extra stuff, and examine our life for those little sins that slow us down so that we do have time to pray and we do have time to serve and we do have time to be busy about the Lord's work. There are no bonuses at your funeral when people say, oh, he was such a hard worker. For you workaholics sitting out here, please, if you've got a wife and kids, they need to see you. They need to know you. You need to impart some godly wisdom into them. And don't raise them that they need to live in a chaotic lifestyle, keeping up with the Joneses. But then turn around and tell them they need to live by faith, because those two things are polar opposites of each other. So I want to encourage you, as a child of God, if we run this race with endurance, that's what we've been called to be patient, folks, then maybe go home and pray about, maybe just start making a list. You know, maybe we don't need to belong to this. Maybe we don't need this. Maybe we could do this. One pastor on this topic, he said, every Christian home needs to have a garage sale or a house fire. Because you know that you spend money to store things that you don't ever look at or use. To me, two of the biggest rackets in America are drug dealers and people that build storage units. Because if you're not on drugs, you need a storage unit. Why? We got all this stuff. I got a barn full of stuff at home, and I tell my wife, I said, see, what we do is we go in there. And if we haven't touched it, looked at it, or thought about it in 2 years, we need to give it away. We haven't done it this year yet, but we will. We just need the simple life, which puts God at the center. And our focus is Him. And we're not working to get every possession on this planet that keeps us from serving Him and loving Him and showing others that the most important thing in their life is not what sits in their driveway or what neighborhood they live in or what degree initials are behind their name or what company you work for, but it's that the God of all creation says, let me give you peace, let me give you rest, and let me carry your load. As a child of God, we can live that way. So I urge you as we close with prayer now. Can we examine our lives as children of God? Can we examine our lives? Make a list of some of the easy stuff. And let's start seeing if it frees up our hearts, frees up our minds, our wallets, and our calendars. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking you most of all for the price he paid on Calvary, that we might not only be set free from sin, but the chaos of living a complicated life. Father, implanted into each believer in this room is a higher calling. And that calling is to love you with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our minds. Father, help us to make an honest look. How have we complicated something so simple as loving you and serving you? And Father, while you do not detest and you're not angered because of our possessions, I pray our possessions never get in the way of putting you first in everything we do. And Father, if there's somebody here this morning, someone watching online that has never placed their faith and trust in you, they've been acquiring things. They've been experiencing retail therapy. They buy things to make them happy. And then when it wears off, they buy something else. They're always competing. They need this new or that new. Father, I just pray they might come to the understanding that you are what they need. And a reaction to not having the peace and serenity and our eternal destiny fastened upon you will cause us to be uneasy and stir and think that collecting things or higher status in this life has anything to do with loving you and serving you. Father, bless us, and may we serve others. And may we be the church right here in Cuero, Texas, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand and join?